Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, March 23rd of 2022. I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Michigan. And it's good to be with you. I'm glad you've tuned in wherever you're tuning in, however you're tuning in, whatever device, whatever country, whatever continent. I like to say however and wherever you're tuning in. I remember hearing not too long ago that we had people tuning in from all the major continents of the world, North and South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, and Australia, Oceania, the land down under. It's only down under because it's down below the equator. It's just down below the equator. That's all. That's why it's called the land down under. So there's nothing behind it by any means. Because some people might wonder, what do they mean the land down under? Well, that's all they mean, is below the equator. Okay? Yeah, that's all they mean. Okay? And so, as I said, it's good to be with you. And I did a thing today. I actually tried from this restaurant in Bay City. It's this thing that it's a peanut butter and jelly burger, literally, with bacon and meat and cheese. And it also has peanut butter and jelly on it. So, like, instead of having, like, ketchup or mustard or some other sauce, lettuce, tomatoes, like the things that burgers usually have. Instead, this burger has peanut butter and jelly on it. So it's literally peanut butter and jelly on a burger. And it really is good. Very good. It was my first time trying it, and I would say it's a winner. It's actually called the Grandma Jude Burger, actually. And so it is one that I would recommend. First time I had something like that. I have had a burger on a donut before. That was super good too. However, I will say this about it. I wish that this burger, that donut burger, was actually more like a donut breakfast sandwich with sausage as opposed to the hamburger and other things that you find on a burger. I wish it was like sausage or bacon. Because of the prospect of the sweet and salty together. Because whatever burger they used, somehow, it just wasn't as salty as it could have been. Because meat that's not salty doesn't necessarily go with the super sweet. So, and this was at a place in that Donut Burger was at a place down in the Metro Detroit area in a northern suburb of Detroit. And so, another very unusual sandwich I tried was actually one that KFC did just before COVID. They had a donut chicken sandwich. That was really good. It was on a glazed donut. And that was what I thought was a very good sandwich. So it all depends what you put it on, I think. And, of course, to each one their own. Because I realize not everyone's going to like the same thing. And I'm sure some of your listeners are like, wait a minute, you what? I can just see some people being like, you don't ever put peanut butter and jelly on a burger. But it really was quite unique, to be honest with you. And then, of course, there's the garlic burger from Steak and Shake that I really enjoy a lot. As I said, the garlic burger, that garlic double from Steak and Shake, where the garlic is actually on the bun. And that is, it's some good stuff. For those of you who haven't tried it, you need to. All right. And a sure sign that spring is on the way, I actually heard the stadium PA system in use. I don't know what kind of game they're doing. Obviously, it's not football. I don't know if it's track or if it's soccer or what it is. I don't know. I just know they're doing something in the stadium. That's all I know. And so that's, you say, why won't you say more about it? Because I only know what I told you. And I could hear part of what they were saying. And of course, they were giving their little spiel about sportsmanship, which of course is, in fact, very important. And so, I have a Michigan game for basketball to mention real quick at the end for sports. And then, of course, thanks to the Major League agreement to the MLBPA reaching an agreement, they the season will start on April 8th, which is in 2 weeks. The regular season, that is. But I do anything else, I do want to remind you real quick, the show is brought to you by the best soft drink in the world, Coca-Cola, which you can get at so many different places, including your local McDonald's, where you can go and grab an any size Coca-Cola for the low price of just $1. You can choose from regular Coke, Sprite, or you can be like Preacher Man and decide to get Dr. Pepper. And Preacher Man, if you're listening, my Coke, my Coca-Cola is so much better than your Dr. Pepper or your Werner's or whatever other soda that you might be drinking. My Coca-Cola is that much better. Yeah, it is. It's sweeter. It's just a better taste to it. In case you're wondering, why does it taste better? Well, you'll have to find out for yourself by having a drink of it. And you may wonder, and if you're ever wondering, well, will there be Coca-Cola in heaven? In my book, I would say yes. At least something like it. I would say yes. There needs to be. Just like I believe there needs to be donuts in heaven, a Chick-fil-A in heaven, actually many Chick-fil-A's, a Steak and Shake, and other tasty food places like that. All right. Now, I want to announce to you real quick, number one, the book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers with an I, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, The Story of My Life. And it really is a great read. And it's about how God has been so great to me, all the different miracles that he's done. He's healed my kidneys. He's healed my hands from warts. He healed me of cancer, the colon lining. He healed me from seizures when I was very young. He healed my immune system that was extremely weak. And just goes on and on and on of the great things that God has done for me throughout my life. And I'm so gracious to God for what he's done. And I'm so thankful to him for what he has done. And when you read the book, I really pray that it will stir up your faith. I honestly hope that it will stir up your faith. Because it's a great story of encouragement. Amen. Now, the other thing I want to remind you of is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And whatever seed you sow goes right into the radio program. And this helps us keep going, reach more people, because we want to reach more people. We want more people to hear about Jesus. So if this has been a blessing into your life over the last 4.5 years, why not go online to paypal.com and in the search bar type in Upfront Entertainment. No, River Shukla. That was Upfront Entertainment. Was something else. I'm sorry about that. So you go on there and you type in River Shukla. That is R-Y-V-E-R-S, not R-I, R-Y, V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. I need you to keep that in mind. There's a space in between them. Also, keep in mind that the first R in Rivers is capitalized. Also, the S in Shukla is capitalized. So please, take a note of that. Make a note of that. And so that's, I was saying that to give you a heads up so that you can be aware of it. Yes. All right. The verse I want to give to you tonight is, where it says, therefore God loves a cheerful giver. You should want to give. You should want to give with joy. You shouldn't just give out of necessity, feeling like, oh, I better give. I better give an offering. No. Shouldn't feel like this total just obligation. I better do it. No. You should want to give because of what the Word of God has done in your life. And please note something. Whenever I find out that you sowed a seed, I pray over your seed. I do. I pray over your seed because I want you blessed. Now we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. I'm giving everything to you, not holding back, but every part, and give it all to you. You know me, Lord. You know my name. I'm standing now. I'm not ashamed. I've searched and came up empty. This world has nothing for me. You are my one and only. I'm living my life for you. I'm giving everything to you. Not holding back, but every part. Giving it all to you. You are the Lord. You know my name. I'll never be the same again. Oh, no. I've searched and came up empty. This world has nothing for me. You are my one and only. I'm living my life for you. I'm giving everything to you. Not holding back, but every pound. Giving it all to you. Tried so hard to see it, trying so hard to believe it. You'd take someone like me, turn me to victory, so I could never. You take someone like me, turn me to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. Seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. Let all the striving cease. Well, this is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. I'm covered with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place. I am defeated by the power of your grace. I am seated in the heavenly place. Undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. You have conquered it all. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence, I receive it. By the power of your grace, I receive it. In the heavenly place, I am seated. By the power of your grace, undefeated. In the heavenly one, you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. By the power of your grace, I am seated. In the heavenly place, undefeated, by the one who has conquered it all. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a powerful, wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to us, who you are to us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. You're not only with us, you're for us. Because if anyone who is not against us is for us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are right here with us, meeting our every need that we have, you're meeting right here. You know what we have need of before we even ask you. And I thank you that you're doing it for us. And thank you that you're calming the storms of life for us and giving us power. Thank you for your power on the inside of us. That whatever we may face, whatever it is that we may face, we can know that you are there with us to help us get through it. Thank you, Lord God, that your joy is our strength. That all oppression and depression and all that leaves right now. In your mighty name, Jesus. Thank you, Master. For meeting us right where we are. I make my confession over this program. No, not yet. But, I mean, thank you for your time, our time in the Word tonight. as we study your word. Thank you that every need represented tonight by these listeners, every need is met by you, Jesus, because you know what we have need of. And I thank you that you're meeting all of these needs. Healings, deliverance, freedom, whatever it is that they need. Thank you that you're meeting the needs right now. And now, Master, I make my confession over this program. I say that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, that sponsors come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have, and I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I'm a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 11. And I want to ask you, whatever I do here where I'm at, you do where you are. Don't just sit at home and be one of those little mannequins. Be a part. So as I said, John 11, the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin reading now in verse 1. Now a man lay named Lazarus, not Lazarus, Nazareth is where Jesus is from, but Lazarus is this guy that we're going to read about. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Through Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Pause. Remember, I've said this multiple times on this program before in the past, and I'll say it again right now. You got sickness in your body? It is not God that made you sick. God did not put the sickness on you to teach you something either. We'll come back to that. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi, they said, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you. And yet you are going to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he was talking about natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, in parentheses, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews would come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not have he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor." Or the Old Testament, or the King James says, "By this time he stinketh, for he has already been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and will take away both our place and our nation." Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, that he should report it so that they might arrest him. So what you see here, Jesus had found out that Lazarus was sick. Now, they didn't say what he had contracted or what the sickness was. They didn't say, oh, it was leprosy. Oh, it was this thing, that thing, this other thing. No, they didn't even say what it was. But he had gotten sick and then died. And at the start of the chapter, Jesus said, this sickness was so that the glory of God would be shown, you know, through it. He didn't mean it like, oh, if you get sick by chance, it's for the glory of God. No. You need to realize that God does not put sickness and disease upon his people. God does not put sickness and disease upon his people. Through that whole COVID thing, Dr. Brown has said this many times, and even when the stand started on the field at the river at Tampa Bay Church, Tampa, Florida, he would get on that pulpit and he would say, you don't go die at church, you get healed at church. And he would say, well, if you get COVID, maybe you might get it at the gas station. You might get it at from the Uber Eats. You might get it from 7-Eleven. You might get it from the shopping cart at Walmart or Costco or the other grocery store or Target or whatever. But you won't get it at the church. We need to realize and get in our mind that it is not God making us sick. I wonder why. Why would any of God's children accuse him of doing it? And why would anyone think that God's putting that sickness on you to teach you something? The truth is, it's not Jesus putting it on there. In fact, Jesus is the healer, not the sicker. Not the sickness maker, the virus giver. No, he's the healer. And so they were all, he informs the disciples about Lazarus, and he's like, well, he's asleep. I'm going to go there and wake him up. And they're all like, well, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. And then he tells them, well, he's asleep. Oh, but those disciples, what on earth were they doing this time? Oh, the disciples, sometimes. Well, they thought he meant natural sleep. Not realizing that he was actually, in fact, dead. Until he informed them that that he was, in fact, dead. That was what he meant when he said, he's asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. But then the disciples, some of them, they were just, this is what they would say, let's go so we can die with him. Who knows why they thought that? I don't know why they thought that. So they go to see Mary. I mean, first they go to see Martha, but Mary stays in the house. And then later when Mary meets up with them, they both literally tell Jesus, well, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Not necessarily trying to blame him, but just kind of making it clear in their mind that if he had been there, he wouldn't have died. And then, so people are, and even the Jews, there were Jews, you know, that were comforting Mary, Martha in the house. And they, so they go to the tomb. And Jesus tells them, you know, roll the stone away. But one of the sisters is like, no. If you do that, it'll smell terrible. He's been there 4 days. He removes the stone anyway. And then he says out loud for Lazarus to come forth. And then he has grave clothes on. Certain things on him, and he even has a cloth around his face. Hey, folks, that thing with Lazarus, is a good reason not to wear the mask. Because when you're wearing a mask, see, not only can it muffle your face, but almost makes it look like death. And we're supposed to be able to notice faces and be able to hear people clearly. And not through some silly looking, dumb looking mask, mask, whatever you want to call it. Face diaper. But, so, Lazarus loved Jesus. And everybody there was mentioning it. Like, Jesus loved Lazarus. And, of course, Lazarus loved Jesus. And but then later these Pharisees had to come to where Jesus was. These Jews, you know, some of the Jews decided they were going to grab the Pharisees. And them and the Pharisees came and were like, Caiaphas stood in Jesus' defense, but some of these other Jews were all like, if we just let him keep doing the miracles he's doing, this could not be good for our nation. And they were just looking for ways to try to just see what they could do. And then, like, they just kept looking for ways. The Pharisees, I tell you, they just kept looking for ways to try to stand in the way of Jesus. But in the book of John, there's all these different stories that took place over the course of the book, including this one. By this one, I mean the story of Lazarus. And so they were just there for a couple of the days. You know, Jesus was there spending time with them, with Mary and Martha, and they're like, let's go to the tomb. But about this whole healing thing, thank God for divine healing. Ultimately, God wants us to live in divine health. But praise God for divine healing. And so sometimes Jesus will heal through these instant miracles, like where he, like many of the stories that we've read about in the Bible. Or even the way he called out loud into the tomb and yelled out, Lazarus, come forth! And then he comes forth. And then, but that is so powerful. Sometimes that's the system he uses. Many other times he'll use the recovery system. That can involve, you know, doctors, medicine, surgery, and other things. And thank God for modern science. Obviously, as we now know, there's good and bad doctors. There's good and bad everything. I'm serious. There's good and bad everything. So I'm not kidding when I say that. There's good and bad everything. And they've made these doctors and nurses that do great things for people. And these surgeons. Thank God for modern medicine. Just because we trust God doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't go to the doctor. Because the truth is, doctors have their place. They do. there's a certain healing verse I want you to think of in your mind. Where it said, he was wounded for our transgressions, referring to Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. What are iniquities? Sins that you committed. And with his stripes, that he was beaten for us. By his stripes, we were healed and whole. That was part of what he died for, was for your healing. Now, if you're going through some things in your body, whatever they are, don't be going around saying, I have this. Oh, by the way, they said I have 3 months to live. Oh. And if they're saying, oh, you have a month, 3 months to live, 6 months to live, a year to live, whatever that report is that they've given you, if your will is to continue living, curse that thing and say, I believe the report of the Lord. Because if we receive a bad report from the doctor, we should be believing the report of the Lord and saying the report of the Lord. Because you need to have your mouth right. And saying, I have this. I have cancer. I have diabetes. I have this kidney thing, this heart thing, this thing with my eyes, this whatever you could name. Or if you say, I have COVID or this cold or whatever it could be. Don't go around taking possession of it, because when you say, I have it, it almost makes it sound like you own it. Then what you do is you curse that stuff. Take authority over that stuff. Now, when you're asking for prayer and that and believing for your healing, you can say, you know, here's what's going on. But I'm believing that Jesus is going to heal me in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, is any among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church, and they will pray the prayer of agreement for him. And they will be healed through Jesus. So, one thing you need to do is, like I said, watch your mouth. Another thing, we talked about this, you need to stop. If you're thinking in your mind anything about, oh, well, God put this on me, well, God put it there, it's the will of God, he did it to teach me something, stop. That's got to stop. And if you keep believing that, that can be postponing your healing. So get your mind right. Another big thing you need to do, walk in forgiveness. Stop with being in unforgiveness. Stop holding grudges. There's people but you have to walk in love and forgiveness and not unforgiveness, because unforgiveness, that'll hurt your life. You just continue walking in unforgiveness. That's not good. Oh, and about this mouth thing. Also, you got to, if you're one of these people that gossip and talebear, talk against each other, talk against the church, talk against, you know, and you're just gossiping against other people, just gossip. Oh, that's not helping you either. So got to clean that up. And then the other thing I said is, that's part of that cleaning up your mouth, too, is, like I said, the confession. What are you confessing with your mouth? Make sure your mind is right, too. The other thing I mentioned, too, is, so, I just think about, you know, I've seen the miracle working power of Jesus in my own life. Many other people have seen it too, even things that they might not necessarily always mention. And when you hear that somebody got healed, you shouldn't just be all jealous. You should be truly happy for them and be praising God for it. And think about those 10 lepers. One of them literally came back and worshiped Jesus and thanked him and was so overjoyed and was so ecstatic. And he went back and he's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? He was made totally whole. He was made totally whole. Totally whole. Because I don't believe in a God that heals part way. No, my Jesus heals all the way, not part way. I think of in the book of Mark, where the blind man had said, Jesus asked him, well, do you see anything? He goes, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. And so he did that second application. And then he was made whole right there, and he could see clearly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your divine power, for your divine touch, your divine healing touch on our bodies. Thank you, Master, that you are the healer. You are the way maker. You are the deliverer. Thank you, Master, that all sickness and disease, discomfort, will leave our bodies right now. I speak to arthritis, leave right now. Cancer, leave. Heart disease, leave. Kidney issues, leave right now. I speak to all mental disorders, leave right now. Our minds are strong. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over cancer. Go now. I take authority over migraine headaches. Leave. Sinuses, colds, flus, COVID, and all these other things that they will leave right now. Sickness and disease, you are powerless. Jesus, live in our bodies. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you that we're going to live strong, live long and live strong through you, Master. And I thank you that we would be doers of this word in our own lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for men's college basketball, we're now in the Sweet 16. Michigan takes on 2-seed Villanova. I told you the other day, Villanova took down 7th seed, that team to the South, in a close game. My prediction for this game, as Michigan is the 11th seed, Nova is the 2nd seed. It takes a village, 75, wishing again, 64. Michigan will fall to Nova by 11 points. And Nova will head on to the Elite Eight. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Michigan makes the Elite Eight. That would be awesome if they did. And on Monday when I come back, I'll let you know not only how that game went, but the other games in college basketball. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug driver, no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.